Are you shopping for that fisherman that has everything? Are you that person? Are you that person that wants to take off and explore North Carolina with a fly rod? Hi, I'm Bill Barti from Jesse Brown's, and this is the Carolina Outdoors. And if ever there was a time to investigate the Carolina Outdoors up close and personal, now is the time. But where to go? Fortunately, a book was recently published that has the answers. Its author, Sam R. Johnson. Sam's made the rounds from angling clubs to Trout Unlimited groups and others, sharing his knowledge and his book, Fly Fishing the Blue Ridge Parkway, the North Carolina section. Now he's going to join us and share on the Carolina Outdoors. Hey, Sam, welcome.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you, and we're going to have a good time talking about this book that you have recently written and published. It is Fly Fishing the Blue Ridge Parkway, the North Carolina section. And then under that, an almost accurate guide detailing over 200 of the best rivers, streams, and creeks along the North Carolina section of the Blue Ridge Parkway. Hey, Sam, tell us about that little subtitle there, an almost accurate guide detailing these waters.
Well, Bill, as you know, fly fishermen are always looking for a new place to go fish. And that's what this book is about. And with the number of waters in the book, there's a lot of detail about how to get there on each one of them. And I've learned down through the years, just through my association with many other fly fishers, that, you know, if you tell them something, they tend to take it to heart and hold you to it. And so I realized early on in writing this book that there would be trail numbers that changed. There would be trails that were rerouted. My GPS may be off a little bit, given whether I was using my Topo USA on my laptop or I was using a handheld GPS for a fix. But in either event, I figured it'd be safe to put an almost accurate, because I think it is accurate, but there's probably one or two things in there that I'll get called on and say, Sam, you missed this by this or that much, you know. And so I wanted to make sure everyone was aware of that.
Well, speaking of those anglers, this is a comprehensive book. We're going to go into some of the details that are in it. But did you get in any trouble with acquaintances or fishing buddies or of the like for giving away secret spots that people may have cherished and loved?
Well, you know, I'll quote the famous test pilot Chuck Yeager, who once said, "I've been shot at, shot up, and shot down so many times I've forgotten." And I've got to say that there were a few people over in extreme Western Carolina that took exception to this book and really got after me on social media, both on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Because there are a lot of streams on here that are not in other guides, because they're really out of the way. They may be small, but they're extremely productive creeks. And what I did, you know, I kind of outed those because, that's how I got into fly fishing myself. I was very fortunate to be around a lot of tenured anglers that didn't have secrets. I mean, they would take you to their favorite fishing hole, and that's how I learned to fish. And I'm determined to do the same thing, to open up these waters for people to find that they probably never would find without a book like this. And the other thing, Bill, a lot of the complaints from a few people were, well, you know, just a lot of people are going to go in there and trash the stream and, you know, and ruin it for everyone else. Well, you know, the fact is on a lot of these streams, you know, you bushwhack in for a quarter of a mile or half a mile, And people who are going to go to that kind of trouble to fish a stream, they're not going to trash the stream. They're going to, they love it. They're going to take care of it just like we have. So to answer your question, I took a little heat, but you know what? It's been worth it. And just about every time Mark Woods, the retired superintendent of the Blue Ridge Parkway, who wrote the foreword to my book, would chime in on social media too and remind everyone that, hey, these are public waters. These are national parks or national forests that's owned by everyone. It's not just one person's.
Well, that's an important detail to note. And, you know, we don't oftentimes use the word fortuitous during a pandemic, especially. But
right.
I don't know what you would say about how fortuitous it was to have this book come out right before this germ comes about, because this book kind of is an empowering work that enables people to be places and go places, outdoors, outside, places that are proven and deemed safe. We've known that for years in the outdoor world, but now the rest of the world is finding out how healthy it is to be outside. This book enables people to kind of get off the beaten path, so to speak, and I'm going to ask you a little bit about that, but how fortuitous would you claim this book to be in its timing just at the beginning or ending of 2019, preparing for what happened in 2020?
Well, I think in many senses, the timing was perfect, given when it started showing up in outfitters and bookstores. People were starting to do the social distance thing. The country was starting to shut down in March. So really, I only had from this time last year, really Thanksgiving last year, until the end of February before the world changed. But what people really started realizing is that, you know, what we've always known, you know, fly fishing is the ultimate social distancing sport. And so this really provided a tool for the fly fisherman to either take it and go find a stream and get on it, or to make better time of having to stay at home by reading about these streams and then planning which ones they're going to go to once we take the leash off. And so it's been a little bit of both. I've had some people call me and say, you know what, since I bought this book, you know, 2 out of 4 weekends last month, I was out. And I wouldn't have been if I hadn't found this stream in this book I'd never heard of and read your description of it. So I think it's been a positive effect so far.
This is Bill Barty here on the Carolina Outdoors. We're talking to author Sam R. Johnson, the author of the book Fly Fishing the Blue Ridge Parkway, the North Carolina section, here on the Carolina Outdoors. And Sam, let's get into the book a little bit. The Blue Ridge Parkway is coming up on its 85th birthday. It in totality is 460 plus miles of scenic byway through North Carolina and Virginia. The book kind of gives a breakdown of North Carolina, but it gives a history and a breakdown of the hydrology and biology and the water there, the watershed there in North Carolina. Will you talk to us about the history of the Blue Ridge Parkway, its construction, and how that watershed over there works?
I'd be happy to, because that really is how this book got started. It got started because of my love of the parkway and coming up and visiting it every year of my life since I was about 7 or 8 years old when we came up. But the parkway was, as I said in the book, it was a product of an ill wind that really ended up blowing some good. And by that, I mean, the parkway was a product of the Great Depression of the last century. President Roosevelt was in Shenandoah National Park, visiting the Skyline Parkway area up there, when Senator Harry Flood Byrd made the recommendation that, hey, you know what, Mr. President, they've just opened Smoky Mountain National Park, and it's available now for tourism. Why don't we connect these two parks with a scenic roadway that would run the spine of the Appalachian Mountains between Shenandoah National Park and the Great Smokies? And of course, Roosevelt, being the progressive he was, thought, well, you know, that's one hell of an idea. Not only would we create a new, a new venue for the recently motorized public who were just now being able to buy cars and ride and take vacations and trips, but we'd create a huge number of jobs. And so in the early 30s, about 1933, you know, the decision was made to do that. It was handed over to the National Park Service, which a lot of people may or may not know that the Blue Ridge Parkway is a national park. It's in its entirety. It's the longest national park in the world. And so construction began around Cumberland Gap, which is right very close to the Virginia-North Carolina line. And then as they acquired the land, which was acquired by the states, were chartered with, okay, here's the route, but the states, you're going to need to get the land and negotiate the deals with the landowners, which wasn't easy, but they got it done. And then you're going to charter that land over to the National Park Service, and then we'll start construction. So the parkway was built not in contiguous, you know, sections. It was built in kind of a hopscotch method, as the property was acquired, surveyed, and roads were built to it in order to get the heavy equipment on it. So it was built up until the World War II, and then they had to stop most of the construction. And then at the end of World War II, there was a large funding effort called Mission 66. And that put several billion dollars into the National Park Service to help them finish the Blue Ridge Parkway. And they did finish it. All except one stretch on the south side of Grandfather Mountain, which the Morton family said, no, you're not going to blast off the side of Grandfather Mountain and put a road on it unless you do something to protect the habitat, which is very special. And it wasn't until the late 70s until they finalized that. And then I think it was like 1987, they actually finished the Lenco Viaduct, and 50 years after they started building the Blue Ridge Parkway, right at 50 years, they completed the last section. So 469 miles were finally completed 50 years after they started. So that's kind of in the IRS short form history of the parkway. All of the construction was done by all the public works groups that started out of the Depression, like the CCC Corps, the Public Work Organization, that made jobs for people, badly needed jobs. And right now, the Blue Ridge Parkway is operating on about a $16 to $18 million a year budget, and which is a tiny budget for a road this size, about between 200 and 300 employees. So it's really underfunded. Sequestration really hurt it. And the Great American Outdoors Act, which was just refunded, has put a lot of money back into the parkway to open up some of the venues, do some repaving and some of the repairs that need to be done. But it is a true national treasure. What a lot of people don't realize, Bill, is that it is surrounded by great trout water. And that was the genesis of this book. Where I could combine two things that I dearly love is fly fishing and then the Blue Ridge Parkway, because you travel the Blue Ridge Parkway for just very short distances. You're either crossing a great trout stream or river, or you're very close to one that's on the right of way or in the national forest next to it. So,
that's what the book is, Fly Fishing the Blue Ridge Parkway, the North Carolina section. We've got the author, Sam Johnson, on the program. And Sam, the first 81 pages, at least, break all this down, the history, the biology, the safety and preparation. But then after that come your breakdown of the different sections of stream that this roadway makes available to us. Talk to us about that breakdown after page 81 that you have there, and how you broke it down, because you GPS coordinate it, but you also rate it. It's a great book on where to fish along the Blue Ridge Parkway in North Carolina.
Well, Bill, that's a great question, because being a fly fisherman myself, when someone is talking to me about a stream, there are certain things that I want to know about that stream. You know, what's it like? What kind of fish does it have in it? You know, what kind of bugs did you typically use? How do you get to it? How hard is it to fish? So there's some analytics that I realized that when I started writing this book, if this book were going to be useful to the angling public, that I would need to reach down on the hard drive of my brain and pull off and get down on paper. So what I've done, the 252 miles of Blue Ridge Parkway in North Carolina, I divided into four 62 mile sections. And what I did was take the waters that are in each of those sections, and I broke them out. The ones that I have fished, about 98% of them are streams and rivers and seeps that I've actually fished myself. The remaining 1 or 2% are streams that I've been told about by friends, close friends, and people that I trust that they have fished. And there's only just a handful of those in the book of the 200 and so. And so what I've done, I've taken a creek like Bunches Creek, which is one of the tributaries of the Raven Fork, which is also a major tributary of the Oconaluftee up in the Cherokee Indian Reservation. But Bunches Creek, for instance, I give my ranking of it, Bill, and I rank it either a 1 thumbs up or a 5 thumbs up, with the obvious, interpretation there. If it's a five thumbs up, is an outstanding trout stream, in my opinion. There's really nothing in this book that's less than 3 thumbs up. And the next thing that I put are the GPS fixes of the north of the source and the mouth, so that you can cut and paste these into your web browser, and it'll take you exactly where that point is, where you can look at it on a map. Or you can put it into your own handheld GPS, and it'll put you there. The next thing I list is the size at the mouth. I'll tell you whether it's either small, medium, large, or very large. I put some metrics on, what I mean by large. Is that 10 feet or is that 18 or 20 feet, whatever that is. Some of the most important analytics that I put in here, or metrics, Bill, is the gradient. And I'll put the percentage of elevation gain from the mouth to the source. And for instance, if you take a 10-foot 2x4 and you raise it 1 foot on one end, that would be a 10% gradient. And so I will take and calculate that gradient over the entire length of that stream that I'm describing here, and give you the gradient. And that gradient goes everything from flat to mild to medium to difficult to extreme, as you get up into the teens, 18, 20% gradient. I'm good to about 18%. I'm pretty healthy and get along. I'm kind of a bushwhacking kind of guy. Some people will learn that, you know, 12% is, you know, that's about the limit for me. So I put the graded on there.
Well, that fits to the people that it's dedicated to. The book is dedicated to people who can no longer get out into wild places. Also, it's dedicated to people that may need new and wild places to go fish. And then there are those who just need to reminisce about streams fished long before. The book, Fly Fishing the Blue Ridge Parkway, the author, Sam Johnson. And Sam, we didn't get to get into detail about what to warn our listeners about in the book, you know, poison spiders, snakes, and maybe most interestingly, nymphs and wood fairies and encounters that you may have had with those. Maybe we're going to have to cover that next time here on the Carolina Outdoors. Hey, the book's available wherever books are sold, including at Jesse Brown's. Sam Johnson, thanks for joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors.
Bill, it's been my pleasure today. Thank you so much, and thanks for all Jesse Brown does supporting the sport of fly fishing.
Well, you are quite welcome, and when everything clears up, we look forward to getting you over to Jesse Brown's in person instead of just doing it the old-fashioned way, virtually, or via podcast or radio, but we are sure glad to get to talk to you today.
Well, I'll be happy to do that.
We're going to take a quick break and be back on the other side. You're listening to the Carolina Outdoors.